There's a snap. There's a kick. It is up. It is no good. No one missed.
I think we got a heck of a shot of winning. We beat anybody in the world, and I think we're going to win next Sunday.
Eli Manning stays on his feet, airs it out down the field. It is caught by Tyree.
For all you non-believers, disrespect us, talk crap about the defense like we ain't the third best defense in the league.
See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait.
Fitzpatrick. End zone. Eric Decker holds it in. The Jets win in overtime.
And the New York Giants, given last rites by many in December, are the Super Bowl champs in February.
This is NFL Friday, going long on all news, reaction, and game picks for the Giants, Jets, and across the NFL on WFUV Sports.
Welcome to NFL Friday, WFUV Sports' exclusive NFL podcast. How's it going, everybody? Will Talent here with you alongside me, Joe Henry. It's just us two chopping it up for this Week 16 action as the NFL's 2024 regular season is coming to an end. Always a sad time. It always goes so fast, Joe, but it's been a very fun season so far. In this week 16 of the day of recording, Saturday, December 21st, we had three really good ball games going down before the Sunday slate. We had the Chargers and the Broncos, the Texans and the Chiefs, and the Steelers against the Ravens. Three games with a lot of playoff implications attached to them. We have lots to talk about, lots to unpack with those three games to go along with our Week 16 picks as this season rolls along. But Joe, how's everything going, my man?
Man, good. I'm so happy to be here after long finals week to get that in the rearview mirror and be able to sit on the couch with my dad, watch some football for the first time this year. Couldn't ask for much more than that.
Get to just watch some football. Don't have to worry about school. Finals are over. Fordham is on a break, thankfully. Great semester. Looking for a better one in the spring. Lots to talk about here, though, as we enter our Christmas and holiday break. This week 16 matchups. Let's start with the Broncos and the Chargers. The Chargers, what a comeback win, 34-27. The Broncos, they led for most of this ball game. Bo Nix, 263 yards on 40 pass attempts. He completed 29 of those. Two touchdowns, only got sacked twice. He was great. The run game was very solid, very consistent all throughout for the Broncos. Not a lot of gaudy numbers for them, but still very consistent. One rushing touchdown that comes from Audric Estime, the leading rusher. His first NFL touchdown of his career. Pretty balanced attack for the Broncos. They were really, really giving it to the Chargers in the beginning there. Put up 21 of their 27 points in that first half. And then in the second half, that Chargers defense, they stepped up just 3 points apiece in the third and fourth quarters. And the Chargers with a big 15-point fourth quarter to take down the Broncos and tighten up this AFC race, not so much the West as the Chiefs have that locked up, but the AFC wild cards, they got a little bit more tricky now with the Chargers winning this game over the Broncos. And that opens the door for the Bengals as well, who needed the Broncos to lose some games here. The Bengals, they need to win out, but they were helped out by the Broncos in the first step with them losing this game. I want to start with the Chargers first, Joe. Justin Herbert, he looked really, really solid. 23 for 31, 284 yards, two touchdowns, one interception. Ladd McConkey really establishing himself as that number one wide receiver. This Chargers team, Joe, they have some grit. They have some fight to them. They stay in it. And it's been like that, I would say, pretty progressively all season long. And such an impactful win against an in-division rival and tightening up this AFC wildcard race.
Yeah, for once, it feels like this Chargers team is actually not respectable, but a team that is almost fun to watch, kind of refreshing. So long with Brendan Staley, it was just disappointment after disappointment, no matter the big names that they had, because they had so many big-name talents. This year, a lot of those talents go out the wayside. You look just at the receiver position with Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. but the ability to find guys who will fill those gaps, you know, get a couple guys coming over from the Ravens and Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins. Of course, Dobbins hurt now, but he had had a really great resurgent year. And now Edwards is picking up the slack. I just saw a stat that Edwards is among 20 NFL running backs active with 30 career touchdowns. And, you know, he's never been the guy, but he's a reliable option. We see him stepping up in a game like this one. 5 yards per carry, gets in the end zone twice, had that huge 43-yard run to pretty much seal the game for them, right? And elsewhere, you know, guys stepping up in the receiver room where you lose your two best guys, but you get Ladd McConkey. You've got Josh Palmer stepping up. You know, Quentin Johnson's still a lot of question marks there, but a second-year guy who maybe could be something for you down the line. It's a lot more fun of a team than they had been in years prior, where it felt like it was disappointment after disappointment. This year, the thing that stands out for me, because obviously you talk about the turnover offensively, right? You have so many guys personnel-wise that go from being a Charger to going to these other big name spots, right? And they have spots to fill. But what really has impressed me is the defense, because you lost a lot of those big name players that defined this Chargers defense from the past 7 years. And it's a Chargers defense that, despite these big name players, was never really that good. But this year, it's not a great defense, but in some categories, they've been really impressive. They've allowed just the third most points of any defense this year. So really solid in that respect. One concern, they have had 941 plays run against them, which is in the bottom three in the league. So that's something of concern as you head towards playoff time, because you have some wear and tear there. But this is a defense that is, to this point, despite having less big names, held up much better. And I think Harbaugh helps with that a lot. You know, I'm sure that the coaching turnover plays a big role in that. But I think that the Chargers team is finally starting to get talked about more, not just because Herbert has stepped up and these other guys in offensive roles have stepped up, but because this defense has turned in some really impressive outings this year.
They have some guys too on that defense that are pretty established as well, obviously with Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack, but Derwin James as well. Also noticed, I honestly didn't know this before I just looked at their roster. Bud Dupree's on the team as well. Another viable option, veteran presence, good ball player, good career. And then they fill in the gaps with their younger guys where they need to. It's just a very solid defense. It doesn't blow you out of the water, but it's doing what they need. Did a great job stuffing the run all throughout that game, not giving up anything other than two field goals throughout that entire second half. But I'm happy you brought up Gus Edwards. It's kind of funny how Dobbins and Edwards changed brothers pretty much, going from John over to Jim as he took.
Yeah, I never thought about that.
Yeah, that was
That's
the
funny.
Ravens running back tandem for a couple years, actually. And now Gus Edwards playing a very impactful role with Dobbins down, very similar scheme, it appears to be. And Edwards, great ball game, 14 carries, 68 yards, and two touchdowns, doing what he needs to do. That 68 yards comes mainly from a 43-yard long, but still very solid game, getting things done where they need to. Justin Herbert also not playing like an MVP, but playing like a great quarterback, though, and that's what he is, and that's where a lot of things start when it comes to winning, having a great quarterback. Herbert in year five, I would say it's probably not his best season, but he's definitely been very solid. He's getting the job done, especially losing weapons that he's had, especially in Keenan Allen as well, his trusted number one receiver first year without him. And Ladd McConkey's really filled those shoes pretty nicely. Joshua Palmer's put together a solid season. And Quentin Johnson, obviously known for drops that a lot of people like to clown him for, he's definitely taken a little bit of a step forward, and that Chargers offense is heavily benefiting from it. As for the Broncos, though, it's definitely tightens things up for them. I picked the Broncos to win this game for our NFL Friday picks. They do not, and it makes things a little bit tougher in the AFC. So going into that game, the Broncos, they were able to clinch a playoff spot with a win or a Cincinnati loss against the Browns, or a Colts loss versus the Titans, or I'm sorry, these are all ands. They would have to win, and now they lost. So if with the loss, they need the Bengals to lose, they need the Colts to lose to the Titans, and they need the Dolphins to lose to the Niners. That's pretty steep. I don't see two of those three things happening. And honestly, I could see all three of those things not going the Broncos' way to sneak into the playoffs. So they're probably going to have to wait another week. But let's talk about Bo Nix here for a second, too. Excellent rookie campaign. think he's definitely inserted his name more so than not over the last few weeks into that offensive rookie of the year conversation. I'm pretty sure it's going to go to Jaden Daniels. It should go to Jaden Daniels, as he's been playing at an elite level this entire year. I know that the Commanders may catch some flack from a lot of people for not having that big statement W. They really haven't won that big game. They don't really play particularly well against good teams, but Jaden Daniels doing a heck of a job. Bo Nix, though, creeping up a little bit behind and making this race a little bit more interesting. As I said before, 29 for 40, 263 yards and 2 touchdowns. But Joe, what's really stood out to you in terms of Bo Nix's play, particularly over the last few weeks, as he just continues to grow as a quote unquote rookie quarterback? He certainly hasn't looked like your stereotypical rookie quarterback.
Yeah, I'm blanking on this stat, but I saw a stat from Thursday's game that he had a lot of yards coming after the catch as opposed to before. But I think while that can be an indictment on a quarterback's true talent when you try to evaluate a guy through the box score, I think it also says something about his decision making and him as a rookie. You know, you look, Drake May has had a great rookie year, but he throws a lot of interceptions, and there's benefits to that. He takes risks and gets big plays for them, for the Patriots. But Bo Nix, you know, not throwing a ton of picks. He did have a few past couple of weeks, Colts and Browns games, but otherwise he's been really protective of the ball, and we saw that again against the Chargers. And I think that that's what stands out, is he's just become a reliable guy, which isn't always how you would describe a rookie. When you think about the good rookie quarterbacks of the past few years, you think about the more dynamic playmakers, you know, a May, a Daniels, a Stroud. He's really just been a steady force, and that's something that you don't often see from a quarterback that young. And that said, I do think that this is Jaden Daniels' award. I think it's worth noting that the Commanders have had a rather or have struggled against good teams, have beat up on bad teams. They've struggled generally in the second half of the season, although they've somewhat picked it up the past couple weeks. I think for me, with Daniels versus Nix, it's hard to put yourself back in the mindset that we had in September, when we all thought that the Commanders were going to have a 4-13 season, because now the expectations are that high, and they're that high because of Jaden Daniels. This isn't a great Commanders team. If you look around the depth chart of that club, you know, it's an okay team, but you see just how much Daniels has elevated them. Because we all, just like with the Texans last year, we expected this team to be very bad. And, you know, we didn't expect the Broncos to be terribly good either. So both of these quarterbacks deserve a lot of credit. But if I were to try and analyze this from a most valuable player perspective, I think that Daniels' value to the Commanders is a little bit higher than Nix's to the Broncos. I'm not sure. What do you think about that, though?
I like it, because if you look at last year, the Commanders were really bad. They were definitely worse than the Broncos. The Broncos weren't in a good state whatsoever, but I think there was more to work with if you're Bo Nix going into that situation. I know Dan Quinn, he has that head coaching experience. Obviously, we saw that with Atlanta, but I wasn't totally sold on the vision, not because of Daniels. Just because, and really not so much a who, how, what kind of a coach that Quinn is, but he was a defensive-minded coach. And as we normally see, you go out and you get a defensive-minded coach and you take a rookie quarterback, it usually doesn't spell well for that quarterback, because the head coach, everyone, the guy that's calling the shots, isn't tailored to your side of the ball. But it's worked out for them. Daniels was a great talent. Late first round pick, shot all the way up to a top three pick, ended up being the second overall. I think with the Broncos, they were kind of stuck with their pick. I forget what pick it was, but they weren't in that range, like a top five pick, and they settled for Nix, and
Yeah,
he's
I
done
want to say it was
well.
12.
Yeah, it was one of those, right? It was between 10 and 12, I think. Or I think Penix went 12, and Penix went after or before Nix. So yeah, I like 12.
It
But
was 12, yeah.
I think there was a little bit more to work with if you were Bo Nix, especially with Sean Payton as your head coach. Terry McLaurin's a nice option to have as wide receiver one for Jaden Daniels. That's very solid. The defense for the Broncos was pretty solid to begin with, and they've played, I would say, a little bit above expectations, especially losing Justin Simmons in that safety department. Patrick Surtain has taken another step. So I think both systems totally exceeded expectations for both quarterbacks. If you're the Broncos, though, I think you're in a little bit of a better spot just because of your team. I think the Commanders have a little bit more work to do, especially with, like we were just saying, it boils down to, can you hang? The Broncos can hang, maybe not win all the time. The Commanders don't hang with good teams, to be honest.
And that's a defense thing for me. Broncos, yeah, as you said, came in with a good defense and it's been even better thus far this season. I feel like you can always stay in a game so long as you have a good defense. Like, sure. Obviously, I'm going to make Patriots references because this is what I'm most comfortable with as a Patriots fan. But, you know, being subjected to watching this team the past few years, as bad as they've been, this year the defense hasn't been good. But in years prior, it's been a good defense despite the offense being abysmal. And we tend to hang around. We don't really get blown out a lot, right? And so I think it's a similar story. When you have a defense that's good, even when your offense is terrible, you still have a shot at games. And so this is a Denver offense that was expected to maybe not be terrible, but be pretty bad. And for them to be a little above average as a unit offensively, that means that those games would have been hanging in there are now turning into wins. And now they're in prime position to make the playoffs even after losing to the Chargers. They've got, I think, an 84% shot with 2 weeks to play.
Yeah, the Broncos, I think, will still find a way to get it done. They've put together a very solid season. They really need to win out. Maybe not mathematically, but it would be best for the team if they won out in week 17 and 18. I think overall the situation, though, to get back to your question, was it was a little bit better of a situation for Bo Nix. And he's a little bit older, too. Doesn't have that NFL experience, but he's just, as a person, as a human being, is a little bit older. I think that could have a little bit to do with it. Jaden Daniels has looked fine, and I think both teams are going to end up being just fine. Like I was saying, though, the Broncos can hang. The Commanders barely were hanging with the Giants, and that said something to me. It happened twice. Mm-hmm. They still racked up the W's. The Giants have a kicker in that first matchup. They win that game. The second game, the Giants were in it all the way down to the wire. It was a one-score game at the last possession. So limiting those, I think, will come in time. The Commanders are going to have to make some moves. They both are, but the Commanders are really going to have to beef up in certain departments. They're going to have to get another wide receiver outside of Terry McLaurin. Daniels is going to need another option as well. And I guess the same could be said for Bo Nix, though. Cortland Sutton's not getting any younger. He's had a very solid season, too. Very nice to see, especially with some injuries here in the past. Another option would be nice for both of these guys, though. Maybe use it in the draft. You're going to get one of those kind of picks. With this draft, it may be a little bit tough kind of wide receiver class that is being perceived and is being projected. Could hit free agency. Overall, solid position if you're both quarterbacks. The Broncos, I think right now on this day, are a little bit in a better position for the future. But the offseason will tell the story for that. Great draft for quarterbacks. Bo Nix also has 3,200 passing yards. That's a very solid rookie season with two games to play. Could potentially get that up to maybe 36, 37 if he has a really good game. 22 touchdowns to 11 interceptions with a 53.2 QBR. I could imagine with those interceptions at 11, it's not ideal. It's not terrible. With how he's looked in the pocket, though, I could really see him having some single-digit, very small double-digit interception seasons moving forward, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like 11, I think, is maybe a touch above average at this point in the season. You know, I think Lamar just threw his fourth earlier tonight. Josh Allen does not have many at all. I think he had zero through the first 8 or 9 games. But those are the best two quarterbacks in the league right now, really. So I think 11 is, as a rookie, you always look at that Peyton Manning stat. He set a record for most interceptions in a season as a rookie. So I think he's perfectly fine in that department.
Well, Bo Nix, along with Jaden Daniels, great rookie quarterback class in the 2024 draft. But let's shift gears a little bit. Let's go to this next game, the first game of the Saturday slate. It was the Texans visiting the Chiefs. The Chiefs trying to lock up that number one seed, and it's probably going to come down, barring a Bills loss. You're probably really hoping for that one, Joe, as they face the Patriots. Should be pretty interesting with
There's no way.
AFC.
There is no way that the Patriots win that
You think though, at 12:55, is that Bills pick going to turn into the Patriots?
Look, man, don't talk to
Got
me
to.
about. All right. Look, we'll see if I even wake up by 12:55. It might be a blessing that I don't. Because,
Could save your standing.
the trends, have spoken. Have I picked the Patriots to go 14-0 this year? Yeah. All right. That
Yeah.
doesn't mean that I think that does that doesn't mean that I think they're that good or good at all. Let's just be clear. But I just like to get a little spicy with it. Now, this one might be the first loss I take them because you're away against the Buffalo, who has torched you in the post Tom Brady era. And this is a better Buffalo team, I think, than in years prior. So, yeah, really good Bills team and a team that I think is better than the Chiefs in the AFC. But of course, the Chiefs now have that 2-game edge record-wise. Be pretty hard for them to lose their grip on the one seed, especially after pulling away today. Yeah.
I definitely want to get into that game a little bit more, especially with you being a Pats fan, because I do agree this is probably the best Bills team I've ever seen. I think this is definitely their best team in the Allen, Mahomes, Burrow, Jackson era. They look really solid. But in terms of the Chiefs, they needed to win today, and they did. And in order to clinch that number one seed to take a little bit off of your starters for the next 2 weeks, they need the Bills to lose to New England. Is it going to happen? Who knows? We'll talk about it. Oh, and that would have been a 420 reselection for you. Did not know this was a 425 game Eastern Standard Time in Buffalo. Anyway, though, the Texans, they are also in a playoff race as well in the AFC. It's a big game for both of them. Breaking it down, Mahomes, Patrick Mahomes. He was solid, not having his best season by any means, but he got the job done today on that high ankle sprain. A lot of speculation if he was going to play. Definitely need him out there if you're the Chiefs. So got to tape that ankle up, make sure it's fine and sturdy. And the Chiefs, they come out on top 27-19. Mahomes goes 28 of 41 with 260 yards and a touchdown. Kareem Hunt, 11 carries for 55 yards and a rushing touchdown. Mahomes also used the legs as well. 5 carries, 33 yards, and a touchdown. Xavier Worthy, he looked really solid out there. He had 7 catches for 65 yards and a touchdown. I was pretty impressed with Hollywood Brown, though, making his Chiefs debut after hurting that shoulder in their first preseason game all the way back in August. And he goes 5 catches for 45 yards. But he was really creating separation a lot today, open a lot of the time. He was targeted 8 times, reeled in 5 catches. But I, like I said, his separation ability was really nice to see today. Adds to a weapon in, or it is a weapon that is added to that wide receiver room that the Chiefs have desperately needed something from. All season long, DeAndre Hopkins, a little bit more of a quieter game, 4 catches for 37 yards. But some of the catches that he made today in traffic, over the middle, gets sandwiched on. There was one play, two linebackers converging, crushed Hopkins right before he caught that ball, caught it, eked over the line, got the first down, and just stood right up. You need a tough receiver that way. And one of the more, he's a big veteran presence for Mahomes. And if he had him in his prime, that I think he would rival Tyreek, even though that system was really, really good and designed for Tyreek, but one of the best receivers that Mahomes has gotten to throw to has definitely been DeAndre Hopkins, even though he's in the latter half of his career. Isaiah Pacheco, not so much of a factor today. Kind of wanted to see a little bit more of him. 9 carries, 26 yards. But this, Joe, of all the wins the Chiefs have had this season, is, I'm going to be honest, probably one of the more fraudulent 13-1 records that we've seen. They still haven't scored more than 30 points in a game. There's been some games where they really just kind of skated by and won by the skin of their teeth. But today, the Texans were kind of in it all the way until the end. And the Chiefs, they put their foot down and won this game. It didn't go all the way into that last possession like we saw with the Raiders game, and it ended on a botched snap or a missed field goal. The Chiefs really did win this one. I do think, though, that they will get a little bit of a run for their money, no matter their experience in the playoffs, because this offense doesn't really have that spark. I was giving them praise, but they don't really have that spark. They're doing what they need to do to win these games. But this was the first game that I felt comfortable. Like, yep, they won this game. They didn't really scare me in that fourth quarter.
Yeah, I saw a stat a couple weeks ago, and I'm trying to amend it through my head. If you were to flip one possession games, the Chiefs would go from 14-1 to, I believe, now 3-12, because this was a one score game, which is insane. And that's a testament to how good this team in the clutch is, specifically Mahomes. But I think it also says, this is a team that's used to just beating the brakes off of worse teams, and they haven't. They've played some good teams, but they've also, just skated by with wins against teams that they should be crushing. And I thought that Browns win last week, it wasn't even a super convincing win, but I thought that was like the first game maybe all year, except maybe the Saints game, where it felt like they had a comfortable win, which is really saying something for this team. But it's as much as I would love to count them out because I do not want to see Mahomes get a fourth ring. I'm very hesitant to do so, not just because Mahomes and Reed have that X factor, but because this is a team that's getting healthier. And specifically, if they're able to clinch that number one seed and get that ever elusive bye, you could be looking at guys who, if need be, have reduced snaps week 17, no snaps week 18, bye week for the first round of the playoffs, and then you're coming in as a really fresh team. And for the guys that are ramping up, like a Pacheco, like a Hollywood Brown, you get them these reps in these last two games, and then you've got to buy, and then you're good to go. So, if for me, also mentioned Hollywood Brown coming back, I think he's tremendous. I would not be surprised at all if he's their leading receiver next year. Really, really high on him. I thought 2 years ago, I believe it was, when the Cardinals got off to a hot start, he was electric. And I expect him to kind of fill in that Tyreek Hill gap, even though, he's not Tyreek Hill, but I think that he can be probably the most dynamic threat that the Chiefs have had since his departure, especially with, Kelce going downhill a little bit. Hopkins has been a pretty steady presence. Worthy starting to break out a little more. All of a sudden, you look at this weapons core for Mahomes. He's got Kelce, he's got Worthy and Hopkins, he's also got Brown coming in, and now he's got Pacheco healthy. Kareem Hunt has ramped up and become a good addition for them. So they get to the playoffs. They have some time to rest these guys or ramp them up, depending on where they're at in their injury situations. This could be a really, really daunting offense to face if they're able to for that divisional round.
Absolutely. They just need Mahomes to lock it in a little bit more, and he will, he may not look like he's not dialed in. It's definitely not been the Mahomes that we're used to. It could also factor into why they're not putting up 30 points a game, haven't even scored 30 points once. That defense has definitely, over the last 2 years, they've become more of a defensive team despite having the best quarterback in the National Football League. But I totally agree with you. When he was at Oklahoma, Hollywood Brown was one of the more explosive receivers in college football, and he's still ex very explosive. I think the NFL has definitely caught up to his game, and did so when he was drafted. But he does have that extra gear that a lot of receivers don't have, and it'll be very important for this Chiefs offense, provides so much more versatility, especially with their backs being the receivers that they are. Kareem Hunt has always been a receiving threat. Pacheco can receive when he needs to receive. Kelce is Kelce. I know he's getting older, and there were some passes today where I was like, wow, he really dropped that. That's crazy. But it's still Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes. It's that kind of connection. And that'll be a thing until one of them retires and a new connection will have to be formed. But yeah, so definitely don't count him out. Hollywood Brown, though, I said it in the beginning, very, very pleasantly surprised with how he was able to create space today. He didn't reel them all in, but he was open just about every single time. There were multiple different plays where he was riding along the sideline or cutting across the middle, and he found a way to get those gains where need be. This defense, Justin Reed didn't have to kick any kickoffs today. That was fun to see, though. Trent McDuffie, great game for him. Two tackles for a loss. He also had a pass deflection, and I believe he had an interception. He did. Him and Jaden Hicks had interceptions as well, but Trent McDuffie really, really shined on the defensive side of things for the Chiefs. I do know that Chris Jones went down. Believe he was fine, though. He went down for a minute, but this Chiefs defense still holding their own. Spagnuolo is doing a great job of reinventing this team. They're 14-1, and they're not that juggernaut that we're used to knowing them as. And the defense has continued to pick up that slack. I think the Chiefs will be fine. They need to continue to win games. It doesn't really matter how they do it until the playoffs come around. Also, it was the first time since 2003 that the Chiefs went undefeated at home. I was a little surprised when I heard that. They go a perfect 9-0 at Arrowhead Stadium for the first time in over 20 years. And throughout this run that they've had over the last 6 years or so, very shocked to hear that. Thought they may have been able to squeeze at least one season out where they had done that, but they did not. And they go undefeated now for the first time since 2003 at home. So congratulations to them to lock up this number one seed. As I said, they had to win today, and they need the Bills to lose to the Patriots. But for the Texans side of things over here, CJ Stroud, he was fine through two pretty bad interceptions, but 23 for 39, 244 yards and two touchdowns. Joe Mixon, 14 carries, 57 yards. Chiefs defense did a really nice job of stuffing the run today. Joe Mixon's having a really good season. His long was 22 yards, to where a bulk of that 57 comes in. And this is where I want to really talk about the Texans' leading receiver today, Tank Dell, six catches for 98 yards and a touchdown. That touchdown was an incredible catch, and it definitely ended this season, and it will probably take out portions of his next season. Just an awful, awful injury. It was truly, truly a shame to see a guy that's been through so much in the last year tears his ACL in week 13 of last year, was unfortunately wounded by a gunshot during the offseason in April, and then recovered from both of those, comes back a little bit later, and now has a Nick Chubb type of leg injury.
Yeah, I mean, it's just horrible to see. Looking back for me through the past several years, seeing guys of his talent level experience injuries of that caliber. It's just one of those things that, like, you're not, obviously I'm not on the field. I don't know Tank Dell. But it's just whenever you see that and you see the reactions of his teammates, you saw Stroud was just distraught over that. I mean, it's just heartbreaking to see. And especially those lower leg injuries, especially the more gruesome ones like this one. I mean, it's just terrible. And now you look at a Texans team that the future is still so bright for them and so bright for Tank Dell. But you look at this year where, expectations were a little higher than what they've end up putting down on paper, still have a shot, with this core that they have, especially that Stroud to Dell connection, which you saw on that very play. For him to go down now, you still have some options there in the receiving core. Obviously, Nico Collins is the big one, but this is a receiving core that's experienced a lot of injuries the past year, past 2 years. So, just another brutal blow for this team and for Tank Dell, who, as you said, has been through so much.
And another very explosive wide receiver in his own regard, too. I was watching this video of this guy after the game. He's a sports scientist. He makes a lot of videos, especially when guys get hurt, on how the recovery may look, what specifically goes down in terms of a torn ligament or a broken bone or whatever the case may be. And we're looking at multiple ligament tears. I know that his kneecap is definitely dislocated. If it was his full knee, there was this artery that this guy was mentioning that he'll still be able to play, but at the level that he is capable of, it will probably be hindered after this recovery. Look at Nick Chubb. That was one of the worst injuries I think I've ever seen, and I don't think we're gonna see the same Nick Chubb ever again. We kind of saw that this year. Now he broke his foot and he's out for the rest of the year. But I don't know what to expect in terms of a recovery for Tank Dell here. It's just awful to see such a young talent, a bright future, and now it kind of wanes in the wings here to see what the next move is, how he's going to recover. What exactly and the what is the full extent of this injury outside of the dislocated kneecap? All in all, it was awful. And it was also his own guy. I'm trying to find his name. I know he was just called up from the practice squad for the Texans earlier today. I don't think he
Was
had a
it
catch. That's why it's not coming
Xavier
up.
Hutchinson
I don't think it
or
was Xavier Hutchinson. Oh,
Andrew
it may have
Mack?
been actually. I thought I no, it was Jared Wayne. Yeah, I thought his last name was Wayne.
Oh, yeah.
It was Jared Wayne. Jared Wayne was just called up from the practice squad for the Texans today, and it was such an awful sight to see. Collides with Tank Dell right in his knee, and you could see the emotions pouring out from not just Wayne, the entire team. You hate to see that happen. Happen. It was very similar with Patrick Mahomes colliding with Rashee Rice this year, banging his knee up. He's out for the rest of the year. This knee injury, unfortunately, a little bit more gruesome and has a little bit more implications on the structure of Tank Dell's knee. That is, but the Texans, hard-fought game for them. They will play the Ravens on Christmas Day. Not an easy matchup whatsoever for them. That's a 4:30 start for week 17, but a tough stretch for these Houston Texans as they try to lock up this AFC South.
I believe they did clinch it.
They did,
So,
right? Yeah,
and
they.
what's interesting about this next week's matchup is that it will almost certainly, not almost certainly, because the Ravens, I believe, still could take the NFC North.
Yes, they can.
But as it stands right now, Texans Ravens, it would be Ravens visiting the Texans since the Texans are division winners. That would be your wild card matchup. So that's going to be a really interesting one next week.
That will be very interesting. Yeah, 100%. The Colts sitting at 6-8 behind the Texans, and Jacksonville and Tennessee not having any desirable seasons by any stretch, but definitely will be an interesting matchup with the Ravens needing to play their starters. The Texans probably don't have to go all out here unless they're really concerned about seeding. It'll be either the third seed or the fourth seed for them. So just a tough blow for the Texans overall, who already lost Stephon Diggs this season. They will try to continue to march on here as we get through this NFL season. But mentioning the Baltimore Ravens, let's talk about the final game of the early action during week 16, and that was Ravens and Steelers. That was a ball game, very, very much so, tied all the way until that fourth quarter where it started to get a little ugly. Let's start on the Steelers side of things. Russell Wilson, he continues to play pretty decently. He's had a very, very resurgent year compared to his time in Denver. 22 of 33 for 217 yards and two touchdowns. Calvin Austin III, really good ball game for him. He had a big 44-yard catch that set the Steelers up pretty nicely. Four catches for 65 yards. And this was all without George Pickens today as well. The Steelers did what they could. The Ravens just took advantage of the takeaways. Lamar Jackson, he threw an interception for the first time since, I don't even know, but it was only his fourth interception of the year. It's been a while since Lamar has thrown a pass like that. And he still played pretty well, 15 of 23, 207 yards and three touchdowns. He had 22 yards on nine carries on the ground. But this is huge, Joe. This evens up this AFC North, a very tough, gritty division. I believe both of these teams will find a way in as Baltimore, with their win today, definitively clinched a spot, whether it's a wild card spot or that division. That remains to be seen. But looking ahead, though, the way that the Ravens played this time around against the Steelers, they're really starting to heat up. And I think Lamar is kind of separating himself in this MVP conversation. Right now, I'll throw Saquon in there, but if we're being fully honest, I think it's between Lamar and Josh Allen right now. And if I were to pick, I would go with Lamar. I think the rushing stats still hold true for Lamar. And overall, Josh Allen has had a fantastic season. But overall, I would stick with Lamar as the MVP through 16 weeks so far.
Well, I mean, I think voter fatigue aside, because I think due to voter fatigue, I think Josh Allen is almost certainly going to win.
That's
But that
fair.
aside, I think I still would lean Josh Allen, because Lamar has thrown four interceptions this year. That interception he threw today, I believe they said it was the first in 113 pass attempts. So he's been electric, not just with his feet. He's ever since he came into the league, he's been doing nothing but proving people wrong about saying, this guy's a running back at quarterback. I think that's at this point pretty clearly an absurd take. But similar things can be said for Josh Allen, where so much had been said about his accuracy as a quarterback. He has just five interceptions this year, and as I mentioned earlier, didn't throw one for a good 8, 9 weeks to start the year. And the run that he's been on, especially, which I think is important when you look at an award race like MVP. The past few games, just how electric he's been. You look at that Rams game, you look at that win over Detroit, which I think is really going to cement the award for him. I'd have a lot of trouble giving it to anyone but Josh Allen. And that's not to say that Lamar isn't tremendous. And I'm a big Lamar guy. And I think that the season that he's having this year is even better than his two MVP seasons, at least statistically, if not also by eye test. Still, despite that, if that's just the nature of things sometimes, this is a pretty loaded year MVP race wise because we have those running backs and Saquon and Derrick Henry who, are probably going to finish third and fourth in the category. And then even if you go down and you look at like a Ja'Marr Chase is having a crazy year, if you look at his statistics, it doesn't get talked about because the Ravens aren't very, or the Bengals aren't very good, although they're not quite out of the playoffs, which we'll talk
They're not.
about.
We'll definitely get into that because there's a path for them.
But so despite that, he's been unbelievable. But just the nature of how good these quarterbacks have been between Allen and Jackson, it makes it so that you kind of forget about those names, just how good they've been. But that said, I still think I would give not just the edge, but I think I would give a pretty sizable advantage to Josh Allen in the MVP category thus far. But similar boat for both of these guys. I don't think their eyes are set on just MVP. These are two guys who have been doing it at an elite level for a long time. They've got their accolades, but two guys who have been often lamented for being unable to beat the Chiefs, being unable to get to that big stage. Neither of these quarterbacks have made a Super Bowl yet, let alone win them. And this is as good an opportunity as either of them have had their entire career. So I think that that's going to be something more interesting to watch, especially as they might match up against each other in a divisional round.
This is definitely the year, I would say, for either of them to make it. of the big four of this generation now between Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, and Lamar, Burrow's the only one to be that has been able to take down Mahomes, and he lost that Super Bowl. Great Super Bowl, but they lost. And Mahomes has been the only one that's taken home any hardware in terms of Lombardies out of this core four here. So if you're Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, I totally agree. You're not really thinking about the MVP. You really want to capitalize on this opportunity despite the Chiefs' record and despite that defense. This could be the year. We were just mentioning it before, too. This is probably the best the Bills have looked since Josh Allen has come over, and they've had some really solid teams that have been completely overshadowed with how good the Chiefs have been. The Ravens, the same deal. They've had some really good ball clubs. The Chiefs have beat them, and they've been better. Couldn't agree with you more on that part. I do also agree with the voter fatigue as well. I think you do got to spread the love a little bit, and they may not give it to Lamar because he won it last year. He has definitely, this has probably been his best season overall, I would say. I think it comes close to that first MVP that he had. And it may be a little bit better. I'd have to take another look at it. But I'm a big Lamar guy. I love Lamar. I liked him in college too. I love seeing him rack up those accolades, especially with what you were saying too, in terms of the narrative that he can't play quarterback and he's probably been a better quarterback than we've seen anyone could have expected him to be. And it's truly remarkable in terms of him and Michael Vick, because that's the comparison in terms of their rushing abilities. Lamar, I think, is cementing himself as possibly the best dual threat quarterback we've ever seen outside of Michael Vick. And this Ravens.
I think he's better than Michael Vick. Like, definitely.
I agree. I think with this season he's officially gotten there and he will break those rushing records and everything will be under Lamar Jackson's name.
Vick,
That.
it's Vick's tough because of obviously the off the field stuff and the
Sure.
injuries. So it's hard to get a picture of what his career would have been, and it's hard to measure up, talent versus talent as opposed to looking at the stat lines, which might give you a more clear picture of things. Because you look at the arm strength, you look at the elusiveness of Vic, two of the greatest traits in a quarterback we've ever seen. But the way that Lamar has been able to put that together for multiple seasons on end and now has a great chance to go out and win a Super Bowl, I think, despite, obviously Vic is the better arm strength, I think Lamar might be a better throwing quarterback, and I think he's definitely a better running quarterback. As crazy as that sounds at first glance, that's just the nature of how great he is. So yeah, I think I would give him the edge. I was watching this game in the car as my mom drove me back from school earlier, and I made a comment about it was when Lamar threw that interception because it was such a bad interception, or at least at first glance it looked really bad. I think he ended up getting blinded by a rusher and ended up just thinking that Bateman was going to continue his route when he ended up cutting it off. So he made a poor throw. But I remember being like, wow, before I saw a replay of that and saw that other perspective, I was like, wow, that's such a bad throw. Lamar's he's been so good this year at protecting the ball. My mom was like, who's that Lamar Jackson? I've heard of Lamar Jackson. I was like, he's like Michael Vick, Mike Vick. And she's like, oh, I've heard of Mike Vick. He's like known to be like the best rushing quarterback ever. Lamar Jackson's even better. So that's kind of how I would describe him. And that's no shade to Mike Vick, who's, one of the most thrilling players to watch in NFL history, but that's, I think, a testament to just how good Lamar is.
I'm there with you. I'm 100% there with you. The comparisons were there from day one, and I think Lamar has completely exceeded those, maybe overly. And it's been very fun to watch, especially with him doubting all of these haters. He needs to get that ring. And like I was just saying, I think this is the Ravens and the Bills' best chance to do that if they can get to the Chiefs. Chiefs get hot, kind of like last year. I thought the Ravens may have had a chance, but the Chiefs got hot at the end there and really went on a tear. Not one of their better seasons whatsoever, and they were still able to plow through the playoffs. This year could be a little bit of a different story, but The takeaways today, Minka Fitzpatrick, big interception for him. And then it was completely reversed, a total 180. Marlon Humphrey directly following that Lamar Jackson interception to Minka Fitzpatrick took one to the crib off of Russell Wilson. Under pressure, got knocked down, threw it. Marlon Humphrey cut that route off. Don't remember who the receiver was, but Marlon Humphrey was hawking that receiver's right side entirely, cut it straight off. Took it all the way back for a touchdown for 37 yards. That was pretty electric watching the elusive Lamar Jackson interception, and it was immediately reversed. It didn't even matter. And that was pretty much the nail in the coffin for this game. The Steelers defense, despite giving up 34 points, was pretty solid. And I think that is what will help carry them through. They definitely need George Pickens to get onto the field and stay healthy to make some kind of a run here. But I'm looking at these schedules, though, too, Joe, in terms of the AFC North. And off the bat, I'm just going to lean the Ravens here. I think the Ravens will stick it out. The Steelers have the Chiefs on Christmas Day. As we were saying, the Ravens will play the Texans following Chiefs-Steelers. I'm going to lean the Chiefs in that one, even though I could see that going both ways. But then the Steelers have to go to, or I'm sorry, it'll be at home, but they got to play the Bengals. And if the Bengals have, if they have won two straight, that is a huge game, more so for the Bengals, I think, so they can get into the playoffs. And the Ravens will have to play the Browns. So I'm going to go with the Ravens to end up taking home this AFC North, and in large part due to this dominating victory, as well as the strength of schedule for the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, I mean, I'd agree. Steelers have the edge with the tiebreaker, but I think the Ravens should be able to beat the Texans on the road. It's going to be a close one. And then I think they should definitely take care of business against the Browns. And then the Steelers getting to play at home the next two games, but having to do so against a Chiefs team that has, you know, we've talked at length about it, but I think it's actually going to be interesting to see if the Chiefs have clinched the one seed, because I think if they end up benching players, then that could really help the Steelers out. And then you have a Bengals team that I think either way, if the Bengals are still fighting at that point, I think they would obliterate the Steelers. Like, I think they would just play the game of their lives. And I think if the Bengals were out, I think they would do everything in their power to make sure the Steelers are not division winners. So it's really, you know, no matter which side the coin flips onto, heads or tails, the Steelers are not in a great spot in this division race, with the exception of them having this tiebreaker, which does them a lot of favors if the Ravens were to stumble in their last two games.
I'd have to look at it a little bit further, but say the Steelers lose out and the Broncos go 10-7 too. Maybe the Chargers go 10-7. There's a lot of different ways some of these teams can get into the playoffs because they're all within reach. Steelers could totally lose out here. I could totally see the Steelers losing these next two games. And I could see the Broncos and the Chargers at least winning one more game each to get to that 10-win mark. So I have to take a look at the tiebreakers. But I love it, though, Joe. I love how tight this AFC postseason race is. It's been very, very fun to watch. And as we were just saying, definitely can't count out Cincinnati. I think there's a clear path where they could win out. And that's on top of the Broncos losing. That's the number one thing for the Cincinnati Bengals, is to win out. And I think it is more than attainable for them if they continue to play the kind of football that they've been playing. Let's take a look at their schedule real quick. So they play the Browns tomorrow at 1 o'clock. And then they play the Broncos, and I think the Bengals can definitely beat the Broncos, and then obviously they will play the Steelers at the end of the regular season. But those are three winnable games for the Cincinnati Bengals, 100%. Shaking out to be quite a wild finish. And with that being said, let's get into how we think Week 16 is going to finish. Let's talk about the remainder of the slate. We went through the three games that have gone down. Let's start with the Giants and the Falcons. Intentionally did not talk about the Giants today because me being a Giants guy with my Giants hat on, there isn't much to talk about. I'll tell you right now, Bobby Okereke went on IR with a back injury. We will see him next year. That's where the Giants are at. Is it going to be Cam Ward? Is it going to be Shedeur Sanders? I don't know. I've been talking about it all year. I didn't want to talk about it. Talk about it in April. That's when we'll talk about it. So no Giants today. The Giants are going to lose. They're going to lose this week. They're going to lose to the Falcons, and the Falcons are going to inch a little bit closer to the Bucks and stay in that NFC South race.
Yeah, I'm not even gonna comment on this. I don't think this game's worth my time. I think you pretty much recapped everything. This game's important for the Falcons in terms of staying in it after they've slipped up as much as they have the past several weeks. And otherwise, there is absolutely no reason why you should be watching this game. If this game is even for some godforsaken reason on your television, I'm not sure why CBS or Fox would want this game to be broadcasted in any region outside of the immediate local regions of Atlanta, maybe the suburbs of Atlanta, and then New York, and maybe northern New Jersey. I think if it were to go anywhere beyond that, then it would be a travesty to the sport of football. And with that said, let's go into the next game.
Wait, before we do that though, Michael
Yeah,
Penix is
yeah, yeah.
starting. He's making his
That's okay.
debut.
Never mind. Never
Can't
mind.
sweep that
Actually,
one under the rug.
you know what? All right. I'll allow it. You can
Good.
watch it on Red Zone. And when it cuts to the game, that's not necessarily an automatic bathroom break time. Like you should, if the Falcons have the ball, watch it out. If the Giants do, time to, refill the popcorn, hit the bathroom, something like that. But I'm still 3 hours of that. Man, not for me, says the Patriots fan.
Hey, well, says the Giants fan, it's been 14 weeks of 3 hours all the time.
Feel you, man.
Cam Ward, let's do it. I love it. Next game, Browns Bengals. The Browns will visit the Bengals. I like this game. Is it kind of a trap game? I would have said that a couple days ago, but Jameis Winston is not starting. It is going to be Dorian Robinson-Thompson. So I think it just reversed his name. It's Thompson Robinson. But he played for UCLA. He was fun to watch over there. I'm going to go with the Bengals. I think this is a great time for a DTR to start. See what he's got. Like I said, I liked him out of UCLA. Browns are way out of it. Before we get into the game, though, I will say I will be taking the Bengals. Did you see Myles Garrett's quotes? I want to say it was either today or yesterday about hinting at wanting out of Cleveland.
Oh, I did not.
He does not want to go through a rebuild and made it pretty clear that if that's the direction that they're going in, he wants out. And the Falcons, to bring them back up, are interested in Deshaun Watson if he becomes available for whatever reason. I don't know.
What? What?
Little too much going on for my liking, Joe, but what are your thoughts?
Okay, first of all, Myles Garrett, what do you mean? If that's the direction they're going in, there's no other direction. This is a one-way street. They have to,
Yeah, it's over.
there's no, like, this is not a team that is going to be contending with the pieces that they have. They have to rebuild, okay? They're in the midst of a rebuild, if you could call it that, or at least a tank season, right? And
To
then the
start a
Falcons,
rebuild.
yeah, I guess so. Like, they just had the demolition. The Falcons, I don't, like, what? I did see that they're going to cut Kirk Cousins before his bonus is due, which I guess makes sense, but it's also pretty. I actually foresaw Cousins playing out his tenure, and it made me think earlier. We'll talk about the Vikings. They have a pretty important game against the Seahawks. The way that the Vikings have been able to shape quarterbacks and have these career renaissances, Kirk Cousins, was looked at as a definitely a below average quarterback entering his Vikings tenure, and then. As he left Minnesota, you think this is a like a borderline, maybe a, this is probably a top 10 quarterback. And now you have Sam Darnold, who's come out of nowhere and been a really good quarterback for them. So I think that speaks more to just how good the Vikings have been at producing good quarterback talent, especially now that you look at how bad Kirk Cousins has been to the point where he's going to get cut after 1 year on this massive contract before he's due to this bonus. And they're going to go to Penix, who a lot of people were thinking, why would they draft him? You just gave a lot of money to this guy who should be your quarterback for a long time. So that's pretty crazy to me. I don't see why you would go for Deshaun Watson if you're moving on from Kirk Cousins. Just play Michael Penix then. I mean, that's just absurd to me.
I 100%, man. I gave Kirk Cousins at least 2 years with the Falcons because I really didn't know how he was going to respond off of this Achilles recovery.
Yeah.
And it's been worse than I thought. And it's kind of sad because Kirk is really fun to watch and he's a great leader and he's had a very solid career. What's crazy is that they still got to pay him that $100 million and it's not even going to be for the entirety of the first year of this deal, which is so nuts to me. They gave him $100 million guaranteed on a $180 million contract over 4 years. So nuts. Liked it as a mentor option for Penix. And as a lot of people, it was obviously highly criticized during the draft with Penix being drafted that high to a team that just gave a quarterback at least $100 million guaranteed money. But it took the Falcons out of that quarterback purgatory that they had been in since Matt Ryan had departed to Indianapolis. I'm just a little shocked that it started this fast for Michael Penix, but it's his time. This is who they took. I believe it was ninth overall. So it's go time. It's Michael Penix time. We'll see what he's got. I'm very excited because this name was huge this time last year. Michael Penix playing for Washington in the Heisman race. And then, as expected by being drafted by the Falcons, didn't hear about him at all of this quarterback class. Now we get to see what he's got in a pretty pivotal moment for the Falcons, teetering on the fence to get a spot in for these NFC playoffs. We'll see what happens. But yeah, for the Browns, if you're Myles Garrett, yeah, that is the direction that they're going in. I will say he will be on a different team next year, 100%. He's done his time in Cleveland. I think it's over. Any team would be really fortunate to have him on their defense. I don't really have any picks as of right now. Outside of the Lions, actually, how disgusting would that
That
defensive
would
line
be,
be?
oh man.
Whoa. That would be so crazy. I don't know what their draft capital looks like. I don't know how much draft capital they really have at this point. But that would be pretty special, him and Aiden Hutchinson lining up on either sides of that defensive front four. That would be pretty cool. But I'm going to assume that you're taking the Bengals in this situation, and the spreadsheet tells me that you are.
Yeah, absolutely. For me, in the post Tom Brady era, you have to find new ways to keep football fresh and fun so that after a 1 o'clock, 1 to 4 p.m. period of depression, you have something that makes you a little bit happier. And so what I've done is I've drafted Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase to my fantasy team for my dynasty. So the past few years, I've been able to watch them play and grow together. And, I see them as mentor figures almost. They're really inspiring to me. I think that I'm was really glad earlier, and I think most hosts would have pushed back on that, but I don't. I think Burrow belongs in that, top four of this generation. I think he's on that echelon. Of course, their record this year and most of the years that he's been quarterback, with the exception of that Super Bowl run and maybe one other season, it's been a little disappointing, but that is literally solely the defense's fault, which I hate to just like throw all the blame on one thing, but Joe Burrow has been so good this year. And while I'm not sure why you would watch Browns Bengals, I think that this Burrow Chase attack, which I mentioned just how good Ja'Marr Chase has been this year, it's so fun to watch. And I really hope that they don't get knocked out of the playoff race, because seeing them in those pivotal week 17, 18 matchups would be electric. This is a team that, as bad as their defense has been and as bad as their record indicates, can give anyone a run for their money. And that's because of Burrow and Chase.
They're so electric. And the revelation of Chase Brown as well.
Yeah.
Obviously, that doesn't add to the connection between Burrow and Chase that was established at LSU. Before I get into Chase Brown, too, how old is that Dynasty League?
4 years.
That's pretty fun, man. So you've really watched them kind of grow into their own as the manager of that team. That's really special. Hats off to you for knowing ball before.
I've put up 200 points in consecutive weeks. It's
That's
ridiculous because
crazy
Ja'Marr
work.
Chase just puts up like he puts up like 40 a week now. It's
Always, yeah.
insane.
He's carried my 8-6 team. Terrible draft. Probably the worst that I've ever drafted. Carried me to a semifinal this year. Third straight year in the semis. Won
Huge.
the chip 2 years ago. Lost in the semis last year. Gonna try to come back, but very tough. My team is very, very weak, but it's okay. We made it this far. I shouldn't be here. Shouldn't be here right now, and I am.
It's good
So,
mentality. Yeah.
Ja'Marr Chase is the reason. Took him at 8th overall pick. He slid big time because no one knew what the contract situation was. I didn't care. I needed somebody. And that's also why I'm taking the Bengals in this matchup. Would love to see them win out and make a lot of noise in the AFC playoffs here. But let's go to another in-division matchup. It's going to be the Lions and the Bears. The last time we saw this saga was during the Matt Eberflus era. And that was before we talked about him, unfortunately, getting canned because of some decisions made in that game. And I don't see it going any other way. No offense to the guy. I've already forgotten who the interim is. I know that he was in an interim position as it was.
Yeah, I
I
remember that
take the
as well.
Lions.
Yeah,
So
I
there you
don't
go.
remember who this guy's name is. Yeah, I mean the Lions,
Right,
I'd
man.
say it's shocking that it was even close on Thanksgiving and the Lions gave up that lead. And I think it is something to watch for because starting with that game and since then, they really haven't looked totally like the same team that they were the first many weeks of the year. I'm not saying pump the brakes on the Super Bowl plans because yeah, they lost to the Bills, but I do think that they at least offensively looked good in that game. But it's definitely concerning, very close win against the Bears. You lose to the Bills. I'm forgetting what that game in the middle was. But I believe it was another, close win, nothing convincing. Yeah, it was a 34-31 win over Green Bay. And that's a good Green Bay team. But yeah, something to watch for through these next couple of weeks for the Lions is just how they're able to respond after 3 weeks in which they've kind of played below the Super Bowl expectations that we've had for them. That said, this is a good get back opportunity, and I'd be surprised if it's anything but a Lions route and an offensive lineman touchdown or two as well.
And the Bears losing 8 in a row, it's just, I can't say I'm surprised, because they weren't there yet, and they weren't going to be there for a couple of years, and this is where we're at with them right now. We'll see. They have a lot of different decisions to make, but let's just move off of this because I think it's going to be a nice bounce back win for the Lions, who desperately need it. Some more in division. Titans at Colts, a game I'm not going to be paying too much attention to whatsoever, ever. Although I do need Tony Pollard to put up some points. So there's something to root for, albeit I will be taking the Colts.
Yeah, I've got the Colts too. Not really much to say about it. I have a friend who's a Colts fan, and I asked if he was going to be around tomorrow to watch some football, and he said, "As long as we don't watch the Colts." And I was like, "You're a Colts fan?" And he said, "I don't know if you saw anything from this Sunday, quote, but it was genuinely one of the worst football performances I have ever watched. Went from dominating the first half to looking like the 2016 Browns."
Oh, I don't know about that though. I think he's just upset, and rightfully so. Got a lot to juggle with if you're a Colts fan right now. Is A. Rich going to pan out? I don't know. 2016 Browns though, it's steep. That's a steep comp.
That is, yeah. Yeah. But he's not like a serial exaggerator. Like he's not a guy that's just gonna throw out like these crazy exacerbations. So like when he says that, it's like, wow.
Eyebrows
So
were raised, kind of thing.
yeah, it might have been an eyebrow raised emoji because you can do that now with the reactions,
You
the new
can.
iOS. So I think I might have hit him with that. No, I got him with the exclamation points, old classic. But yeah, not a game that anyone who is not a Colts or Titans fan is going to be watching, but it is an important one because the Colts need to win to have any shot in the playoff race still. So I think it's important in that regard, but otherwise it's not, it's one that you look at the box score at, but probably aren't going to have on the TV.
And kind of with this next game too, Cardinals Panthers. I'm gonna take the Cardinals there. Another game, not really paying a whole lot of attention to. I will say though, I'm very happy to see Bryce Young take this next step. It was after Rod Wave posted on his Instagram story and said,
It's true.
"At Bryce Young, call me." And ever since that happened, that was on October 19th,
Yeah.
October 20th, and moving forward, Bryce Young has looked really solid.
Shout out
Shout out
Rod
Rod
Wave.
Wave,
Shout out Rod Wave, man.
Speaking
Yeah.
of the Cardinals.
Yeah, man. That said, I think Cardinals by like 14.
Yeah, Eagles Commanders. Let's go back to some in-division rivals here. Now, the Eagles can clinch the division, which they will. I will say that right now. They will do that with a win. The Commanders can clinch a berth if they win and the Giants plus the Jets win, or they win and the Giants win and the Vikings win. I'm going to take the Eagles. The Giants are definitely not winning. The Rams need to lose. That means the Jets need to win. That's not happening. Anything New York football, it's already deemed an L. So the Commanders are going to have to wait to clinch that spot. The Philadelphia Eagles and Saquon Barkley are going to win the NFC East tomorrow.
Yeah, I agree with that. This is a Commanders team that's pretty bad rushing defense wise, 24th in rushing yards against, 28th in rushing average against, and this is an Eagles rushing offense that I believe is first in the league. And that's what it boils down to most of all for me, and I think that's an Eagles win.
And mentioning the Rams and the Jets, that's going to be our next ball game. I'm going to say right now it's going to be the Rams taking home that one. But just to throw it out there, Aaron Rodgers has really not looked all, excuse me, too bad out there. A lot of people, including myself, saying he might be the issue and he should be on his way out earlier in this season. But over the last few games, 289 yards, 339 yards, 185, 184, and 151 in some brutal losses, but he's looked pretty well. His QBR or his QB rating has been pretty solid. Big win last week against Jacksonville. That would be a big win these days because they are hard to come by
Big,
if you play
big
football
win.
in New Jersey.
Big win over Mac Jones.
Huge W. Were you upset?
I don't even know how I feel. I was talking up Mac Jones a couple weeks ago when we were on the pod, and then I watched him play when Lawrence got injured. And I was like, maybe I should walk back those comments. This guy's, oh man. Because I defended him a lot. And I think he genuinely was like, I think he genuinely is okay with the right weapons. But when he doesn't, and he has to try and make plays for themselves, work for himself, it's like, oh my goodness, brother.
And get a little tough.
He starts getting a little Will Levis. I forgot that he had that in him, and it's really tough to watch.
Are there
But
any images though during the game that people take,
I
like
don't.
Will Levis, and they say, yeah, this was the Will Levis picture of the week?
That is true. I think Will Levis kind of has unparalleled motion. In that sense, I don't think there's another guy who's the meme of him with like the rippled out background, and in the middle, it's Will Levis with his hands on his head, like watching
Yeah.
as the pick six gets taken the other way. There are some memes. There's a Mac Jones meme from when he's at the Patriot when he like makes a throw and a hitter's coming and he like scrunches up his whole body, like he's really scared. It's really good.
Mac
But other than
Jones.
that, he doesn't really have the same kind of. I don't know. There's that picture of him when he was at Bama with his shirt off, and it's like, maybe you should have kept the jersey on, brother.
Damn. Poor Mac, man. Well,
Sorry, Mac. Sorry.
he's still in the league though, and he's still doing okay. He has a job. That is what matters. Got to find one. He's got it. But I'll take the Rams over the Jets. The Rams have now snuck into the lead for that NFC West over the Seahawks. That's another tight race in of itself. It's going to come down to either of those two teams. I think the Niners are out of it at this point, which is pretty crazy to think about, but they're on their fifth string running back on top of a whole boatload of other issues. But I don't even have a prediction on this. I think it could go either way between the Seahawks and the Rams. Both are pretty solid football teams. Don't know how much noise either of them would actually make in the playoffs, but every game is a little bit more important as we get down the stretch here.
Yeah, I prefer the Rams. I think they're a better team. I think the Seahawks haven't looked great of late, with the exception of that Cardinals win. Otherwise, it's not a Seahawks team that really moves me. The Rams, meanwhile, you have a guy like Matt Stafford and you have that offense starting to get healthy. That's a team that actually is similar to the Bengals. It's a team that maybe is not a Super Bowl contending team, but it's a team that can beat good teams because of the nature of their offense.
100% Joe Henry. Let's move it down another slot. Vikings, Seahawks, big game for both of these teams. I'm gonna go with the Vikings. They've been rolling. They continue to surprise me each week. I thought maybe they would have slowed down. They have done everything far from slowing down, and they are looking like a pretty legit threat in the NFC. I could see their division is tough. I could see both Green Bay and Detroit beating them if that were a matchup. The Vikings are pretty electric, though, man. This is a big game for them. And Sam Darnold, oh man, let's see. They're playing the Seahawks. It's going to be the Vikings. That's what I got, man. I'm just going to take the Vikings. Take the hot hand. They're tied with Detroit now. That's a little bit more interesting with this NFC North. But does Geno have it against them? I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either. This is a Vikings offense that it's not just like a good offense under Sam Darnold. It's a great, like, explosive offense, and they have a ton of weapons too. And I didn't realize that they're tied with the Lions now. That's crazy. They could be the one seed. There's a world in which they're the one seed. That's absolutely wild. So it's a game to watch for that reason and for that NFC West playoff race.
Moving on now, another in-division rivalry. It's going to be the Patriots visiting the Buffalo Bills, a game that the Bills definitely need to win, who have quite the strength of schedule going down the line here as the season wraps up. They got the Patriots, the Jets, and then the Patriots once again. Kind of odd that they're playing the Patriots this many times at the end of the season. You think they would maybe have scattered this a little bit more, but they didn't. And this is what we got. Bills 14-point favorites over the Patriots for this game. And I mean, you could probably talk a little bit more about this than I can, Joe. I'm straight up going with the Bills, and you currently have the Bills, but as we were saying, who knows? You could change your mind at 4:20 tomorrow. And we'll wait and see.
Yeah, look, this Patriots team is really bad. They're better than last year in the sense that we have a watchable quarterback, but that does not mean that we have a watchable offense. Because we don't. We have no weapons. You mentioned Michael Penix in Washington earlier. I saw a highlight reel of Jalen Polk hauling catches for Penix. Washington, he does not do that here at all, if he even sees the field at this point because he has so many drops. Yeah, it's ugly. The Bills should absolutely crush the Patriots. I would be stunned if anything else happens. They just put up a 50 burger on the Lions. So yeah, I don't really have much else to say about that. One thing that I would say, like, that's worth watching about this game is just if you haven't watched Drake May yet, you get to watch him. Really fun. I'm trying to see, I can't remember what the record is, but he's has a chance to have the highest yards per carry by any quarterback in a season since the turn of the century. He's not just like a straight up scrambler, but when he runs, he's surprisingly elusive for his size. A little Josh Allen-esque. This is kind of a baby Josh Allen versus Josh Allen matchup. So I think it'll be fun in that regard, but just not the Patriots do not have the offensive firepower to put up with the Bills, and the defense is not what it's been in years prior, especially when you take into account injuries. It's just not going to be pretty. I would it's, I usually try to sugarcoat it and say, like, maybe the Patriots, like, can keep it close. I'd be pretty surprised. Patriots have been getting blown out this year in a way that they haven't in years prior, and I would not expect anything different against a Bills team that looks maybe like the best team in football after what happened last week.
It's a top 10 offense versus a bottom three offense. It's it yeah it's it, it this may not be pretty. This may not be pretty at all. I don't have anything else to add other than those stats right there. Top 10, bottom three. And yeah, I think we should just move right on to the next one, and that's gonna
Yeah.
be the Jaguars and the Raiders. Even better.
Speaking of not pretty, my goodness, this might be the worst. This is like as bad as the Germany Reparations Bowl when it
Yeah.
was, I think, Giants Panthers.
Yeah, that was because at least that game went to overtime and the Giants lost promptly. And Bryce Young was really excited, and we have a very good video of that for the rest of time. That was awesome. Not for a Giants fan, but hey, it's Mac Jones and it's Aiden O'Connell. This is brutal, man. Brian Thompson though and Brock Bowers can both surpass 1,000 yards in this game, with neither of them having to eclipse 100 yards in the game. So that would be pretty cool. Two standout rookies on their respective squads. Brock Bowers has been what I would say Kyle Pitts should have been in his rookie year and beyond. Brock Bowers has been a revelation and quite the offensive weapon for the Raiders. Everything else outside of Brock Bowers is pretty abysmal. And the same goes with Brian Thompson and the Jaguars. Travis Etienne, not a great year. I took him in the second round, Joe. I took him in the second round. That team made the semifinals. I took Travis Etienne in the second round. Not great. And this just, dude, I don't have anything else to say about this game other than those three players I just mentioned. This is probably the worst game on the slate.
Yeah, I'm glad that you gave a shout out to Brian Thomas and to Brock Bowers because they've been awesome. Thomas is on my dynasty team and he frustrated me earlier in the year because he was very inconsistent as to it wasn't his fault, but it was just whether or not he got one target or like 50. But now it seems like he's building a better rapport with Mac Jones. They're both really fun to watch, so if there's anything to watch in their game, it's for that. I have one stat. Last time there was a 0-0 tie in the NFL was November 7th, 1943, World War II. So just keep an eye out for that. And
Think the
that's pretty much
defenses are
it.
going to be that solid? I mean, I know the Raiders defense, as I'm looking at it right here, has actually been okay. The Jaguars allow, oh my God, they allow 410 yards on average per
Oh my God.
game. Oh my God, man. And 264 of those are in the air. Wow. Both of those 32nd in the NFL. There will be a score in this game.
No.
0-0
The
tie.
score, yeah, the
But
score could be 0-0.
you know what?
It's a score.
This may have been the first time. I have to go back and check. We definitely don't have the time for all of that, but this may have been the first time I've taken the Raiders all year long. And I really just did that because I hope that they win so the Giants can get the first overall pick a little bit easier.
That is exactly why I picked them. Because even though the Patriots, since they don't need a quarterback, don't really need the number one overall, that still doesn't hurt, you know? So I figured I'd slide a Raiders win in there.
And give it to them. Why not? Let's make it 3-13, or 3-12. Giants can go 2-13. That would be a good Sunday for me. 49ers Dolphins though, another game. I'm just not, if this was a couple years ago, sure. Both of these teams super underwhelming, particularly because of their injuries this year. Pretty unfortunate. Isaac Garundo, the fourth string running back for the 49ers, has been very solid. He's most likely going to be out. He definitely is out actually with the hamstring injury. And what sucks with this 49ers team, Joe, is that their offense has actually really been pretty solid despite all of these injuries, and their defense has actually been okay. They're not winning those games that they should be winning, that we know that they can win. When you get down to the nitty-gritty and down to the wire like that, the 49ers usually are able to come through over the last 5 or 6 years or so. This year, it's been definitely not that, and quite the turn. A lot of questions with Kyle Shanahan for sure. And I'm going to take the Dolphins in this game. I think that they will have the edge here. And put together a solid win. I think there's a slight path for them. I don't think
Yeah.
they've officially been eliminated here.
They've got a 3% shot, and if they win, it shoots all the way up to 9. So they've
Wow.
got, there is a window there, whereas the Niners, who technically aren't eliminated, have a less than 1% chance no matter what. So not mathematically eliminated, but in all likelihood, they are donezo. And what's interesting for me about the Niners this year is, you talk about the injuries and the fact that with all the moving parts, they've still been all right on both sides of the ball, just not good enough to win games. I wonder if they're able to bring back most of these guys healthy next year. Is it going to be more of the same, or are we going to be going back to the Niners that were, maybe the second best team in the NFL of the past 5 years? I think that's when things get really interesting now that this season is officially kind of a wash.
I wonder what happens with Debo, though. I think Debo plays
Yeah.
a lot bigger of a part here than people realize, because a lot of people like to just, throw shade at him, seen so many different things, but he was a very, very talented wide receiver, and he's definitely lost a little bit of a step. Not having Brandon Ayuk is definitely a burden for the 49ers. Maybe with both of them on the field together again, that we could see something else. And obviously the clear obvious point here is Christian McCaffrey being fully healthy and putting up a very solid season. Does he come back and have the same explosiveness? I don't know. But have we seen the peak of Debo Samuel and how this 49ers offense really is known to function?
Yeah, that's what I wonder. Especially, CMC's going to be coming back from another injury. He's getting up there now in age. I'm not sure exactly where he's at now. I have to imagine he's hit 30 by now. And, NFL's don't have NFL running backs don't have a super long lifespan, unfortunately. So I think between him and Samuel, and the other question marks in terms of personnel on that offense, all of which, somehow all of which, having dealt with injuries this year, I think it makes next year one to watch with a pretty close lens, because it could be more of the same, and then you have to talk about blowing it up, because if you're doing that 2 years in a row with guys of this caliber making this amount of money, that's just not something that sustained disappointment can allow to continue on the team. So a lot of question marks are going to be there if this were to continue next year. But as for now, effectively eliminated. I'm also taking the Dolphins because I think, one, they're at home and they play much better at home than they do on the road, especially this time of year, with the weather being a factor. And then also just a team that has more to play for. Even if they're probably out, they still have a chance. I think that's the difference.
Christian McCaffrey is 28, so not quite 30, but
Okay.
still getting there for sure. And with the kind of injuries that he's had to his lower body, that definitely will play a factor. Trent Williams is also going to be out as well. So whoever the running back is for the Niners this week is down a generational lineman. And we were talking about it with the Dolphins too. Obviously, we know the Tua situation is not great, even though he's come back and has looked pretty solid. Jalen Waddle's probably not going to play in this game. Tyreek Hill is listed as questionable right now. I believe he will probably play. He's questionable with a wrist injury. Just two battered and bruised teams that could be a lot better than what they've been playing with right now. I will go with the Dolphins, as will you. And now, Bucks Cowboys. This game, I think, can be. We have a little bit more of excitement here. We had a quite the stretch there of the last three games of just not really exciting football whatsoever. This is a big game for Baker Mayfield, I think, and a big game for the Bucks as it is. Big game for Mike Evans as well, as he tries to tie Jerry Rice's record for consecutive 1,000-yard seasons. I believe he's at 749 right now, so he needs a little bit over 250 to get there, with three games to go, and that's with missing three games in the season. So Bucky Irving is also, he should be good to go for this game as well. Another amazing, amazing running back to come out of this class, a very talented draft, but hats off to Baker Mayfield in the season that he's been able to put together. The Bucks 8-6, they've won four in a row. I believe this will be five. I don't see why they won't win this game. I think this could be a game with how the Cowboys have played, where the Bucks turn it up another notch, and really try to make some noise in that NFC. That NFC South isn't getting really any love because the Panthers are 3-11. The Saints have been pretty garbage all year long at 5-9. They had that brutal stretch too where they lost six or seven games in a row. The Falcons have been very mid, that 7-7, and none of their plans really working out. And here we are with the Bucks, who are also injury riddled, but have been led pretty valiantly by Baker Mayfield and company. And I think they have an outside shot to definitely ruffle some feathers in this NFC playoff race.
Yeah, Mayfield for me, like you can't put him on the tier specifically career-wise, but I'm not sure even now as a Matthew Stafford, but he reminds me of him in the way that he has blossomed here with Tampa Bay as a guy who, despite all the circumstances around him and the low expectations, has managed to continuously succeed those expectations. So for him to have done that this year, I don't see that's slowing down this year, especially as the team gets more healthy. You know, you mentioned Mike Evans missed some time. He's come back, and now I'm, you know, you mentioned that record. I thought that that record was like totally out of the purview for him. So that's really cool because I think Mike Evans is one of the least, one of the most undervalued receivers of our era, just because he's never been like that top five guy, but he's always been top 10. And so for him to have that connection with Baker Mayfield has been a lot of fun to watch. This is a team that has a knack for getting themselves into some close games, but also has shown a knack for winning them. And that's what you need come playoff time. And so, yeah, I also have them winning against a Cowboys team that has been very dysfunctional. I think if it's a bad loss for this Cowboys team, you're probably going to see even more storylines from Micah Parsons, Jerry Jones, whoever, as we have all year, which is exciting in some way or another. Exciting for me at least, maybe not exciting for Cowboys fans. Yeah, I think the Bucks are it's a team that I have trouble taking in a first round matchup given how good the top of the NFC is. You know, they'd be playing Lions, let's assume the Lions could get the bye, they'd be playing the Vikings, they could be playing if they were to sneak up further up, they could play the Packers.
Right now, they're playing the Packers because of the three seed over the
Right, because
Ravens.
yeah, so if they clinch the division, they get the Packers. Could get the Commanders. Commanders and Rams, those are teams they could beat. The Packers, I think, would take care of the Buccaneers, but it's still a team that could give whoever they play trouble. And those are always the teams you circle as, you know, having watched the Patriots and evaluating, like looking at who you might play in the first round. There's always a couple of teams that it's like, you know, the record might not be great. Like that last Tom Brady year, we did not want to see the Titans because of the way that Derrick Henry turned it up. Their record wasn't anything special, and it's, you know, it's the Titans. They didn't have a ton going for them except for Derrick Henry. But the run that he went on, I think it's obviously not the same as what Baker Mayfield's doing, but it's a similar story for this Buccaneers team that, yeah, they're a little over 500, nothing special. It's a terrible division, but it's still a team that can give good teams problems. And that's something that I would be concerned about if I'm one of these top seeds, or if I'm a Packers team that is has had such a great year, but is probably going to find themselves in the middle of the wild card due to the nature of the NFC North.
I think this could be a big game for Bucky Irving, especially coming off some injury-riddled weeks. Had a great game against the Giants in MetLife Stadium, and this is a Dallas defense that really has not handled the rush well whatsoever. 29th in that department, averaging 136 yards as a defensive unit, and Bucky Irving could feast on that all day long. Him and Rashad White have been quite the fun tandem to watch. Really thought it was going to be Rashad White and Bucky Irving was going to steadily climb. Bucky Irving jumped Rashad White very seamlessly, but them two together in the backfield is pretty exciting to watch. Definitely want to keep an eye on the backfield for Tampa Bay. Definitely have them winning this game. Let's move on to the final game of the Week 16 slate. It's pretty packed. Monday Night Football, a lot of football over the next 14 days or so. That's really exciting. We got Monday Night Football, then there's a break on Tuesday, and then we got two games on Wednesday for Week 17 for Christmas Day. That's so electric. But staying in Week 16, it's going to be the Saints and the Packers at Lambeau Field. and the Packers are 14-point favorites. A no-brainer for me. This is going to be the Packers. Spencer Rattler is going to get the start. You know, one thing I want to bring up about this game, and it's not even about this game because this game I think is already over. Josh Jacobs has had a very quiet season, and he's been very productive after getting that contract from Green Bay. Over 1,100 yards, could totally see him eclipsing 1,300. He's got 12 touchdowns on 265 carries. A guy that just fit the scheme perfectly for Matt LaFleur, and definitely a big proponent of this offense for sure.
Yeah, that's kind of been the essence of this Packers team as a whole. It's guys who, Jordan Love is a star quarterback, but he doesn't get love like I don't mean to say his name like that. He doesn't get love like a star quarterback typically does, right? A similar story for a guy like Josh Jacobs. Even if you look at the receiving core, the way that they've stepped up, Reed coming in, it's having a 700 yard season, probably going to get up close to 1,000. The way the defense has really stepped up. And has been a turnover creating machine. I'm looking across the board defensively, they're top 10 in nearly every major category. And that's something that's going to really propel them in the playoffs, especially come, December, January, playing in these cold playoff games that are already tilted a little bit in favor of the defense. That's where the Packers become a real threat to whoever they have to play or whoever has to play them in the first round.
That NFC North is very, very tough, and the Packers are sneaky good despite the noise and the tie that there is at the top between the Vikings and the Lions. But definitely going to take the Packers. Must need win against a not so good opponent. Keep their momentum going. And we will see a lot of interesting games, a lot of bad games this week, but nevertheless, a fun week 16 slate. Can't take it for granted because it'll be over pretty soon. And then we are left with postseason football, electric time of the year. But that's going to do it for the week 16 edition of NFL Friday. For Joe Henry, I'm Will Talent. Thank you so much for tuning in. We will see you in the next one.